BGMC. The biblical truth lives here.
We are living in a time like no other in history. But fortunately for us, God wrote it down, all in His prophecies, what would happen next. Find out what prophecies came true this week, ripped straight from the headlines. Verily I say unto you, the only way to rightly understand prophecy is from a messianic Hebrew roots perspective. For without the roots, the tree is dead. Stay tuned for the Prophecy News headline show, The Remnant's Call.
Welcome to The Remnant's Call, The Sledgehammer Show, where prophecy, politics, religion, the straight truth come through to your device that you're watching us on or listening to us on. Tonight's show is Sledgehammer Show number 424. We made a covenant with death. There's something very horrific going on in Boston this coming weekend. That's the weekend of April 28th and through 30th, 2023 in Boston. It is called SatanCon. We're going to be talking about that and what that means for America, that we're allowing this horrendous thing to occur. So get ready, buckle your seatbelt. We're going to be talking about some serious stuff tonight. Let me introduce myself to you. I'm Rav Hanun Ben Moshe from Beth Goyim Messianic Congregation, a place where Jew and Gentile worship Yeshua the Messiah as one people, following the Word of God from Genesis through to the book of Revelation. You can check out our website, bgmctv.org. That's bgmctv.org. You can come out and visit us at 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. Come out any Shabbat, that's Saturday, at 11 a.m. for worship, the news, and the Word of God. So come on out. Come on down to 800 West 3rd Avenue, Lexington, North Carolina. And check out our website, bgmctv.org. You can give us an email if you like. If you love the Sledgehammer Show or hate the Sledgehammer Show, give us an email at info@thesledgehammershow.com. That's info@thesledgehammershow.com. We put our show out on many different social media websites. We put it out on rumble.com/BGMCTV. That's rumble.com/BGMCTV. And hit the like button and the subscribe button, so you get to know when we put out a new show that's on Rumble. We're on YouTube also, youtube.com/BGMCTV. We're on vimeo.com/channels and then /BGMCTV. We're on Brighteon. We're on YouTube. We're on BitChute. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Gab. We're on thetoranetwork.com. We're on USA.life. We're on Telegram. We're on YeshuaTube.org. So come and be with us. Subscribe to our pages. And you'll get notified when we put up new teachings. So at least every other day we're putting up something new. Okay? And if you'd like to donate, please do. Mail a check or money order to Beth Goyim. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue, Lexington, North Carolina. That's Beth Goyim, 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. I'm joined on the line for our show today by none other than our good friend from the state of DeSantis, none other than Ben Jimenez the third. Okay, as we always start out our show, okay, there's lots of podcasts out there, Lots of good podcasts out there. Lots of crappy podcasts out there. But none like this show. Okay, I haven't come across one other podcast that does the news, does prophecy, believes in Messiah Yeshua. His name is not Jesus. There are no little Jewish boys with the name of Jesus. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you a secret. Lean in close. I'm going to tell you a secret. Yeshua, the Messiah, is Jewish. He's Jewish. Yes, he's Jewish. And his name is not Jesus. It's Yeshua. Okay? So I haven't seen another podcast that talks about the word, believes in Messiah, and proclaims that we all need to follow Torah. Okay? So we're going to be talking about, as we do in every Sledgehammer show, because we like to. this is going to be a heavy-duty subject. But in the book of Yeshayahu, Isaiah 28, verse 15, because you said we made a covenant with death. We made a contract with Sheol, that's hell. When the raging flood passes through, it will not touch us, for we have made lies our refuge and hid ourselves in falsehoods. Okay, this is a very powerful passage of prophecy because we are living in a world that is exactly like this, that they've made a covenant with death. Canada has made all this stuff to make it easy to kill yourself, you know, even if you're, you know, 1 year old, okay, and your parents think that, you know, your ailment, your sickness or something like that is going to be bad, they can kill you, okay, and Canada's going to pay for it for free, okay, so that's not only Canada, it's America, it's England, it's all over the world, okay? That the people of the world have made a covenant with death. It's very sad. It truly is sad, Ben, that We've made this this covenant with death, and that we don't care about it. We hate God. The people of the world hate God, and they don't want to hear about God. They've made this covenant with death, and you know, things are going to be happening real soon that we need to talk about, and we need to really think about what's going to transpire next when people have made a covenant with death. What do you think about this covenant of death, Ben?
Well, you know, the fact that you said people hate God, I believe it's all part of the desensitization of our emotions. We're so caught up lately in the latest technology, the latest music trends, the latest Instagram trends, the latest TikTok trends. But what we have failed to do, and it's exactly, you know, as Messiah had said, that the end of days would be like the days of Noah. You know, we've come so far, you know, in history, and we've overcome so many obstacles, but we failed to teach our younger generation about who God really is. You know, we no longer teach the fear of God to our children. You know, Shlomo said that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You know, and how is that? It's because you put God first above everything, because it's not a fear that, oh, I'm afraid of him, but it's a reverent fear. It's a fear of respect. It's a form of loving respect, just like you show your parents, who should be, you know, teaching you and bringing the children up, you know, and you know, I'm not with an iron rod, but you know, in strictness and in truthfulness and in righteousness. And that is why I believe that we're at this point here, where Isaiah speaks about having made a covenant with death, because as Moshe said, you know, look, I give you, you know, death in one hand, life in the other. Choose life, that it may go well with you in the land that you're about to inherit. And nobody is looking at life anymore. They're just looking at the now and what satisfaction they can give their Yetzirah, which is the flesh, the inclinations, the evil inclinations of the flesh.
Yeah, the evil inclinations of the flesh, we need to look at that, because it is something that is hard for us to give up. Okay, it is extremely hard for us to give up. But when we've made a covenant with death, this is what happens next in Psalm 14, verse 1. Fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They deal corruptly, their deeds are vile. Not one does what is right. We've reached this point, you know, especially in America, that, you know, and there's so many people out there saying that there is no God. And people steal, people lie, people cheat. And that's not, you know, just one, you know, that's not just the Democrats. That's everybody. Everybody who doesn't fear God is doing exactly what we see here. And this is why we start off our shows with the Word, because you cannot understand anything that's going on in society unless you have a biblical worldview. And it's really important to understand this, because, you know, look at the verse 1 again. Fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They deal corruptly, their deeds are vile, not one does what is right. So if you don't think that there's going to be any chastisement for the way you act, then you say that there is no God because you are God. It's same with the voter fraud, or the anyone in the government that's frauding. You know, people lie as easily as they breathe. And I think we've come to the point in this crumbling America and in the crumbling world where most of the world is this verse. Fools say in their hearts, there is no God. It is hard to try to talk to people about the Word, try to get them to follow God's laws. It is hard to, you know, get them to see what's going on, but they easily gravitate to what is vile, okay? They easily gravitate to what is vile, because they don't care. They, how to put this? They think themselves as God. They think that nothing they do, well, one of the things that they don't believe in is hell, okay? That's the key. See, if you believe in hell, okay, if you believe in hell, then you will do things to not get there. Okay, you know, we have so much voter fraud, we have so much stuff, we have so much this stuff because nobody is getting caught, you know, stealing from the government, except if you're, you know, somebody who follows God, the demonic government is coming after you. Okay, but when you're following God and keeping his commandments, you get protection. Okay, so we have this pseudo protection over the evil. Nobody's being arrested for all the fraudulent elections. Nobody's being arrested for locking us down when all the reports are out that now that, you know, we didn't need to be locked down, that there was no virus or it was none of this. So we see fools say in their hearts there is no God. They deal corruptly. Their deeds are vile. Not one does what is right. Ben, this is a serious, when this is occurring that we see in Psalm 14 verse 1, that nobody's doing right. Their deeds are vile. God is, how much is he going to take? What's it going to take for him to give us a spanking? And what happens when he does? Or is he going to give us a spanking? What do you think?
Well, it's funny that you bring this up because prior to coming on your show, I was having a conversation on the phone about something that happened to, you know, about generational curses and all this, and how, you know, one person in the family broke it, and but, you know, I had to make it known that, you know, each person that in that family lineage is a separate lineage, although they share the same DNA, just like, you know, the children of Israel. We're all different lineages, but we all come back to, you know, to Abraham, you know. But it's funny because we were talking about, but God is forgiving and this and that. I says, yeah, but if God is forgiving and merciful, then he has to forgive the people in the flood. He has to forgive the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. He has to forgive Korach's company because he's merciful and he's forgiveness. He said, God said, I will have mercy who I have mercy on, and I will forgive who I will forgive. You know, and I mentioned Malachi 3:6. I said, you know, Malachi 3:6 says, I am God and I change not. So that means that if he told you not to do something, he means not to do it. And I brought up the example of the man who was picking up sticks on Shabbat. I said, you have to read the scripture and figure out that it wasn't winter time because nobody else was collecting sticks to kindle a fire to keep warm. So it was this one guy out of the whole community that was picking up sticks. And when Moses came to God, God said, you know, stone him. You know, this way the children of Israel will know, you know, if we read, you know, if we read that scripture carefully, we can see that this person was outright, blatantly breaking the Shabbat laws. You know, we also can see that, what was I telling her? I told her, oh, you know, when we're talking about generational curses, we have to look at Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, and we have to look at the second commandment that says, you know, you shall not put any idols before me. I said, that is a really poor translation because in the actual Hebrew, it says, you shall not put any foreign gods in my face, for my very name is jealous, you know, and if he said that he's going to visit the iniquity of the parents to the third and the fourth generation of them that hate him, then that means that the children are going to suffer the consequences. and the parents are going to have to watch, you know. And this is, you know, where this scripture, you know, Psalm 14:1 also falls into play, because the fool says there is no God. You know, he doesn't believe that anything that they're going to do is going to require a consequence. You know, but if God is who he says he is, and he is a just God, then he is going to have to rain justice on these very people who say there's no God, who don't believe in him, who struggle their whole life to prove that he doesn't exist. And why is that? Because they actually do know somewhere deep down that he does. And they're trying to convince not only themselves, but everybody else that he doesn't exist, because they don't want to take accountability for their actions.
Yeah, they definitely don't want to take accountability for their actions. And that's something that we all need to look at, because we all need to take accountability for our actions, okay? Because we want the Lord to be with us. We want the Lord to be with us. And here's one last scripture before we get into the news and why we're talking about this. Like I said, the Sledgehammer Show is about building, understanding scripture, so that when you're looking at the news, you understand what you're looking at, because it's going to affect you one way or another. Okay, America's falling, and you know, do some research online and study Venezuela. Okay, a modern country that was prosperous, the most prosperous nation in South America, and you know, we had a few people raise up the leadership, and they stole everything, and they stole their freedom, okay? Because, you know, they hadn't seen war, so they went with it, and now they're totally a mess. So Psalm 127 verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain." Okay, so this is a very powerful passage of scripture. Okay, why is it so powerful? Because he's in Psalm 127 verse 1, he's saying, unless the Lord builds your house. Okay, the Lord's going to build your house. He's going to build it steady. He's going to build it strong. He's going to build it on a firm foundation so that nothing will destroy your home. But unless the Lord builds the house, those laborers that are building your home, you know, I remember back in the 90s, after my father passed, my mother got remarried. And we were living in New Jersey at the time, and my mother bought a new townhouse in the city of Woodbridge in New Jersey. Okay, it was a Jewish woman's dream, because she lived less than a mile from the mall. Okay, where she could go shopping all the time. Okay, she bought a new townhome, you know, a three-floor townhome. But the materials that they used was garbage, was utter garbage. You know, within a couple of years, the front stairs were falling apart. Within a couple of years, the deck was falling off the house. Okay, so take that and apply it to Psalm 127 verse 1. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Okay, unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. So Ben, you know, we have this last scripture that we're looking at here before we get into the news. What happens, what do you think happens, Ben, if we kick God out, if we don't believe he's there, if we don't allow him to be over our society? What do you think occurs?
Well, being that, you know, God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, I would dare to say that if we kick God out, it would be like tearing down part of the foundation that holds our home upright. And we all know that the foundation is the most important part of the home, because if you don't have a firm foundation, you also have a home in danger of collapse. And this is what Messiah spoke about when he said that that we can compare, I believe he said, we can compare the kingdom of heaven to a man who built his house on the bedrock. You know, he built it on the bedrock, and the storms came, the waves came, they crashed upon the house, and the house still stood there. You know, it stood upright, it stood firm. You know, but if you build your house on the sand without a firm foundation, which I would say would be, you know, would be God, because God is the center of all. He is all in all, and nothing could ever exist without him. Then your house, when the storm comes, when the waves come and the winds blow, you know, it's going to be like the little house that one of the three little piggies had built. Although they're not kosher, but, you know, the big bad wolf came and huffed and puffed, and he blew his house down. But the wise man builds his house on the rock. And the rock is Messiah, is Yeshua. You know, the rock is the foundation, which is God's word. And if we move away from that and we kick them out, as we've seen happen in states like California, I believe it was Arkansas, was it, that they took the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse and put a statue of Baphomet on there?
Oklahoma.
It was Oklahoma. Okay. I stand corrected. When you do that, you know, you have to expect that you're opening up not the floodgates of heaven, but the floodgates of hell. And you're allowing all these demonic entities to surface and take control and possession of those who don't believe in God, because we're creatures that were created to believe. We're going to believe either in God, or we're going to believe in something else, but we're going to believe regardless of the fact.
Yeah, we're going to believe because we were, you know, we're made to worship something. Okay, so now that we've laid the foundation, let's get into the news. Okay, let's get into the news, because this is happening this weekend. We're allowing this to happen. So let's read the headline. SatanCon arrives in Boston, April 28th through 30th, 2023. The enemy is waging all-out war right in our faces. Okay, so this is very important for us to discuss, because we're allowing this to happen. Okay, well, it's a free country. Yes, it's a free country built on the Bible, built on Judeo-Christian values. Okay, so you can, you know, do this stuff. Well, first of all, we shouldn't allow you to do it anywhere, but do it in, you know, in your home, okay? But we as a people should not allow this. We as a people should not allow these people to get together. We should find out, you know, anybody that goes to this gathering, we should find out where they work, you know, boycott their employer, okay? Do everything possible, because what is going on here is we're allowing the goat demon, the devil, okay? There you see in the picture, in, you know, where the stars would be on the American flag, we have the symbol, the five-pointed star of of Satan. And our enemy is doing this in our face, okay, in the city of Boston. And we'll get to in a little while the historical significance of Boston. Okay, so let me read you some of the article. Christian leaders are responding to the Satanic Temple announcement about its second public convention. Okay, let's pause there for a minute. It's a public convention. These people aren't doing it hidden in, you know, a hideaway out in the forest. They're doing it in the open. They're saying, we don't care what you think. We are promoting our God, Satan. Okay? So the second public convention, a weekend of blasphemy to be held in Boston, Massachusetts, this upcoming weekend. The official theme is Hexa, or in Boston, or Witch's Night, an ancient German holiday that occurs annually on April 30th. In response, Christians are sounding the alarm and planning to fight a spiritual battle to push back against the darkness. Now, make no mistake, friends, this is an all-out war between the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God for the soul of America, okay? So this is happening in the open, blatantly proclaiming Satan as their leader. Okay, Satan is real, okay? Satan has dominion over this earth, but we need to stop its spread. It's a cancer spreading. So we're allowing these people to have this convention. We're allowing them to have Witches' Night, okay? And why is this happening now? Has there always been Satan worshipers? Yes. But they've been hiding. They've been in the closet. They haven't been open about doing this like they are today. They haven't been as blatant as they are today. Let's read a little bit more of the article. Revive Boston, April 2023. Posted, they are being aggressive now, Ramirez said. They've always been vocal, but now they're being aggressive. It doesn't surprise me. The devil's telling them now, amp up your game. Amp up your hearts. Get aggressive. After several decades of living as an ally of evil, God opened Ramirez's eyes. He was born again and gave his life to Yeshua the Messiah. And everything changed. Now he warns people about dabbling with the darkness. He understands how the game is played. Okay, so we're looking at this aggressive behavior. We're looking at them openly proclaiming Satan. And we're going to get to the seven tenets of their faith, excuse me, in a few minutes. Okay, let me just get a drink here. So when they're having a convention to promote Satan, they're having a convention to promote Satan, and they're not afraid what the world thinks. Ben, they're not afraid of what the world thinks. They don't care what the world thinks. This is a marker in the implosion of America, because the Lord is not guarding the house anymore. He's not defending us anymore. So now these people are openly proclaiming their God as Satan. And what do you think God's going to do to us next? What do you think about this? I mean, just a convention to have. What do you think?
Well, as I was reading, the holiday that they're talking about is Hexen Nacht, which is the two words, with Hexen is witches or spells, and Nacht in German means night, you know, like Kristallnacht, the night that they broke all the Jewish windows in the synagogues and stuff. But this this is all, as we've been talking since the beginning of the show, it all has to do with the turning away from the truth, you know. And what does God say in the Brit Hadashah? That they didn't believe the truth, so he handed them over to the lie so that they should believe, you know. And the reason we can go back and that all this is happening and people don't fear anymore, they don't care anymore, they don't believe in God, you know, they're outright displaying their evil inclination, the Yetzirah, is because we've been desensitized to the truth by all the false teachings that have been plaguing us for centuries. You know, like you had mentioned, when this country was first founded, it was founded, you know, on the belief in the Bible, on the belief of God. You know, although they may not have been, you know, messianic believers, but they were striving for the truth. They were striving for a freedom that is blessed under the reign of the Almighty God. And, you know, and as time has gone by, you know, because of political correctness and afraid to offend somebody and you know, to tell them that they're going to hell because they're doing what they're not supposed to be doing, you know, we've sweetened up the gospel. You know, we've sugarcoated it so that this way people can accept it. You know, when Yeshua came to preach, you know, the kingdom of God and to seek out the lost house of the tribes of Israel, he wasn't here to make anybody feel good about themselves. You know, he was here to tell them the truth. You know, this is the way it is. If you don't like it, this is what's going to happen if you don't repent. You know, and the message has always been, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, Yochanan the Immerser preached it. Very few people listened. You know, and like, you know, I was talking with my wife the other day. I was like, you know, it's amazing how, when Yeshua was alive, all these people followed him. You know, they ate from the fish and the bread that he multiplied. You know, they in today's terms, you could say they partied with him. You know, they had a good time with him. They had healings. They had, you know, restoration. Leprosy was healed and eradicated from their lives, you know, of those who were healed. But when it came down to the nitty-gritty, when it came down to really walk with him, even those who were closest to him ran away. You know? And if us as human beings, we're no different from each other. We're no different from Kepha, from Andrew, from James, from Matthew. We're no different than they are. They just lived in a different era than we did. But the fundamental foundation is the same. Messiah died for us. He rose on the third day. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And these 12 disciples that we tend to gloriously uphold them in high esteem suffered a very violent death, each one of them. Even John, we were talking about, you know, John, the beloved disciple, you know, they poisoned him. He didn't die. They put him in a vat of hot oil. He didn't die. So they threw him in the island of Patmos so he could rot to death. But God sustained him. And he just like the other 12, you know, I don't believe that he lost his faith, but I believe that the other 12, their faith was restored, because after they ran away and they saw the master come back, you know, and talk to them and sit with them and eat with them and break bread with them and teach them, they decided that this was better than the alternative. But nowadays, because of the desensitization, we tend to choose the alternative to righteousness, to everlasting life. And it's all because of our distance and our backsliding from the truth.
Yeah, it definitely is. It is our backsliding from the truth that God gave us. And so it requires that we look at something. Because why is SatanCon in Boston instead of California? Okay, you would think Satan, you know, Hollywood, you know, you do something there, Las Vegas, Florida, but why Boston? What is the significance of Boston? Well, Boston was the birthplace of the American Revolution, okay? And this is a revolution not for God, as the people of America were in the original. The original revolution was they wanted to worship God freely. They didn't want to, you know, give all their money, and they didn't want to work for the king. They wanted to work for the king of the universe. Okay? They wanted to live and follow the Bible the way the Bible says. So they came to America, okay? And the American Revolution started in Boston. You know, a revolution against the King of England to worship freely, to put their lives on the line, to go against the biggest empire on the planet. So the history of Boston is an important part of the history of the USA. Boston is one of the most historic towns in Massachusetts. It is considered the birthplace of the American Revolution because so many groundbreaking historic events took place there. Now, also in Massachusetts, in September 16th, 1620, a group of Puritan separatists, better known as the Pilgrims, set sail from Plymouth, England, aboard the Mayflower. Okay, they got there in 1621. Okay. They left England on this long journey in 1620. Okay, this long journey, this three-month journey to worship God freely. Okay, look up the Puritans. Look up what they said before even getting off the Mayflower. So what we have here is Satan is starting a revolution in Boston this weekend. Let me say that again. This weekend, the 28th, April 28th through the 30th, Satan is starting a revolution of the destruction of America. Because we're not stopping it. We're not stopping this convention. The Boston mayor is on board with this. Let me bring up the picture that we had there. Thanking the Boston mayor. Look at that. They're thanking Mayor Michelle Wu. They're thanking the mayor of Boston for allowing them to bring America down into the trash. Okay? To bring America into the trash, because America's revolution started in Boston. Okay? And now we're giving ourselves over to the devil. We're giving ourselves over to the devil. Okay? Now, another thing that occurred in Boston, Massachusetts. Look at that picture. Look what it says. America's original house of worship for spiritualism, the religious movement based on communing with the dead. That is strictly forbidden by the Creator Himself, Jehovah, the Father. In Deuteronomy 13, it is strictly forbidden to communicate with the dead. And we had a king of Israel once summon up Shmuel. And that next day, that king of Israel died. So now we have this revolution with SatanCon having its sold out conference this weekend, 28th through the 30th. They're going to be communing with the dead. They're going to be doing all these different things. And we're allowing it. Well, our laws allow it. Well, we need to stop it. We need to... Now, look at this. There are seven fundamental tenets. Okay? On the left-hand side, we see here. Now, let me read the scripture that I put with this. Leviticus 17, verse 7. No longer will they offer sacrifices to the goat demons before whom they prostituted themselves. This is a permanent regulation for them through all their generations. Now, look at this picture. What's in the five-pointed star, the upside-down five-pointed star? The goat demon head. The goat demon. And then below it, you have the skull and crossbones. This is from the Satanic Temple. This is from the Satanic Temple. This is what's going on in Boston this weekend. And we're allowing it. And people are coming. There'll be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people openly proclaiming that they are Satan worshipers. And we're allowing it? Well, it's a free nation. No, we don't allow Satan worship. But the mayor of Boston is, you know, allowing this. The venue is allowing it. We, the people of America, are allowing it. This is insane where we are, Ben. It is insane. What do you think of this logo, the birthplace of the revolution? Is this the final nail in America's coffin?
Well, you know, America's in for a rough ride, and you know, it's amazing, not at the fact that all this is happening. What's truly amazing is that we've read about this in our Bibles, but yet we're beginning to live it. We're beginning to see this happen, see this unfold right before our very eyes. And it's unfolding at a very fast pace. It's almost impossible to keep up with everything that's going on. And it's coming at us from all sides. And again, why is that happening? Why is God allowing this to happen? It's because we fail to take accountability for our actions. We fail, you know, ever since the garden, you know, human nature is to blame somebody else. You know, anytime something happens, oh, it's because of this happening, because of that, because of this, because of the other, you know, and we never really look at ourselves. Why is this happening? Could it be because the backbone of America's foundation, the Bible believer, the believers in God, the believers in the Messiah, have failed in their mission? Have we failed to spread the gospel, to spread the good news, to spread salvation because we're afraid of offending other people? Every action has a reaction. You know, it's what the theory of relativity. It's been a long day. For everything that we do, we cause a ripple in that vast ocean of humanity. You know, we may not live in a so-called community of believers, but we all live in a community of human kindness, of human beings. You know, we were all created in the image and likeness of God, you know, but yet, you know, like John said in one of his epistles, you know, how can you say I love God whom you haven't seen, but you hate your brother whom you have seen? It's a good question. Why do we hate each other? There's nothing that the other person has that you don't have. You have your five senses, hopefully. you have, you know, the essentials. The only things you really need are the essentials. Everything else is a want. You need air, you need food, you need water, you need a roof over your head, and you need clothes on your back. I believe 98% of humanity has that. The other 2%, well, we got to pick up the slack. You know, that's what community is all about, helping those who are in need. But we're so far separated from the truth that we're just think about ourselves. We just think about what we want, all those little shiny things. You know, we're like Dory in Shark's Tale. You know, for Finding Nemo, you know, the little shiny light had her hypnotized. All the iPhones, all the Teslas, the Bugattis, the R8s, All this stuff has everybody chasing pointless treasures instead of storing up our treasures in heaven, where the rust, the moth, and the thief can't enter. You know, but we allow this because it's easier not to follow and enjoy yourself than to follow and have to suffer. You know, and that's why I strongly believe that Yeshua said, many are called, but few are chosen. Because all those that are called can't suffer. They won't ever make it. That's why he's only looking for the remnant. And that's that. It's so sad that, you know, one day I think I was speaking to you, Rav, how I had realized that, you know, the final judgment is going to be the judgment of everyone who ever existed. And the parable of the sower and the seeds was, I think, the topic of that conversation that we have, where only 25% of all humanity that ever existed is going to be saved.
It's quite amazing. You know, we try to bring truth, and we're doing our best because God is going to, he's going to save his remnant, okay? But as Ben just said, in the parable of the four seeds, you got the seed on the road, seed on the rock, seed that gets tangled in the world, those all don't get into heaven. Only the seed that falls on good ground. And what is good ground? Knowing Messiah and being a brother or sister of Messiah. And Yeshua says his brothers and sisters are those that do what the Father in heaven wants. So we got a couple of minutes left to the show. This is the seven fundamental tenets of the satanic religion. Okay, look at number two. The struggle for justice is an ongoing and necessary pursuit that should prevail over laws and institutions. Over laws? So what would you be following? What are you going to be doing? What's going to make up your society? Okay. What is going to be truth for you? Number one, one should strive to act with compassion and empathy towards all creatures in accordance with reason. Whose reason? Okay, our Bible, you know, especially the laws of God in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, that's God's reasons. Okay, now I know many Christians are sad to say, they say we're not under the law anymore. So then you are satanic because you're doing it according to your reason. Because Messiah Yeshua very clearly said, not until heaven and earth disappear will one jot or tittle be missing from the law, okay? And if he's telling you his brothers or sisters are only those who follow what the Father in heaven wants, well, how do you know what the Father in heaven wants? Well, he wrote it down for us. We say that, you know, not every show, but we proclaim it, you know, most shows, and I always proclaim it at the congregation, which you can join us and find our information on bgmctv.org. What we're seeing this coming weekend is a mile marker that once we pass it this weekend, I don't think there's any returning. We're allowing this sold out event to occur in the place where the American Revolution started. And we need to understand what that means to God, because we the people are allowing this to happen. Maybe not you personally, but are you allowing it to happen personally? Because what are you doing to please the Father in heaven? Are you walking like the Messiah? Do you keep his Shabbat, his Sabbath? Do you keep the holy days that he kept? Or do you follow man-made ways? This is a bad sign. And we need to be ready for what follows after that. Well, you've been listening to The Remnant's Call, The Sledgehammer Show, for Ben Jimenez III and myself, Rav Hanun Ben Moshe from Beth Goyim Messianic Congregation. I bid you Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom. This is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman. I would personally like to thank you for tuning in to The Remnant's Call each and every week. You can listen to the full message on our website, bethgoyim.org. If you have drawn closer to the King of Kings, learned more about him today, we are blessed. If you are blessed by these messages, please consider a donation to our ministry. You can go to our website, bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org. And click on the donate button. You do not have to have a PayPal account to donate. All you need is a debit card. Once again, thank you very much for listening to The Remnant's Call.
If you have not taken your first steps to be born again, just ask God's help. Remember, it's His loving grace that has come to find you. No one is worthy or able to reach God, but God can reach us, and He's reaching out to you now. Just open your heart and let Him in. His arms are open, and the blessing of salvation and eternal life are waiting for you. Don't let it wait any longer.
Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift His face and shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you His shalom.
Shalom. My name is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman, and I invite you to come to visit our congregation. If you are in the tri-state area, come out and visit with us on Shabbat. We are a congregation of Jews and Gentiles living as one in the Messiah Yeshua. BGMC is a place of true worship. The focus never wanders from the Hebraic roots of our faith. Beth Goyim is rooted in the Word of God from Bereshit through to the Book of Revelation. Messiah's strong words against man-made tradition are carefully recorded in Matthew 7. That is the reason we only follow the straight-up instructions found in Scripture. Truly, the way, the truth, and the life. If you're looking for a deeper walk with Adonai, come out for our Tuesday evening Bible study called Messianic Torah Time. Come, spend a day with us on any Shabbat. We start at 11 a.m. with the sound of the ancient Hebrew shofar. Next, we offer our King praise and worship in English, Hebrew, and Spanish. After worship, we review the headlines in the previous week's news from around the globe, especially news from the Holy Land Israel. We don't just list the news headlines as current events, but we comb through the scriptures, searching for clues to understand what they mean, and then to help pinpoint prophetically our current position on Adonai's clock. After digesting all that modern information, we leave the world behind as we journey with our Adonai deep into His eternal word. Not with just one or two scriptures, but usually seven or more scriptures. The spiritual nourishment and the richness of His kingdom become accessible to the ones who share this special time and seek them out. The day does not end there. Because Shabbat is so special to Him, there is always so much more that our King desires to share. So instead of separating and leaving, we stay together as a family for potluck lunch and an afternoon study of our King's Word. We close this Shabbat together with the reading of the new week's parasha. That's the Torah portion. Even after those blessings, many of us just can't get enough. So the members bring prepared homemade foods to share while we all enjoy an uplifting movie together. If all that information is not quite enough, you can check out our website where you will find over 200 video teachings and biblical holy day studies. Under Messianic Torah Time, the Hebrew Roots button, you'll discover free studies on many, many different topics, including PowerPoint slide presentations. If Beth Goyim sounds like a place you'd love to visit, but you live outside the tri-state area, there is still a way to connect with us. We stream live on the internet on Tuesday, Thursday, and Shabbat. The website is www.bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org. Our phone number is 973-338-7800 or 978-2-YESHUA. That's 978, the number 2, Yeshua. Shalom.